This is Paul Jindrasiak for Sunday Morning Town Square, and I'm joined this morning by Thomas Taj Gillespie. At age 15, he became a member of the Wealthy Street Boys gang. Age 18, he went to jail. By 26, he turned his life around and walked away from the gang life. He founded Life's Connections, a organization that helps provide youth with positive alternatives to keep them out of the gang lifestyle. How are you doing today, Taj?
I'm doing wonderful, Paul. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Really glad you could join me.
Same here.
So, as a young man growing up in Grand Rapids, what was it that attracted you to the gang life?
Well, Paul, I must be honest. I wasn't really attracted to the gang life. I was more attracted to the lifestyle of gang members and hustlers that acquire wealth from the gang. As a young man growing up in the city of Grand Rapids, you didn't have too many positive role models to look up to. You know what I mean? That was really within your reach. You know, the only thing I was within my reach was Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan, then, you know, it was a brother in my neighborhood named Mike Young. And the only one I could physically touch was Mike Young. We called him Black Mike. And a teenager in the neighborhood that was living the life in my eyes, so I thought.
Okay. So what was it about some of the other stuff with the lifestyle that was, appealing to you, you know, when you were looking at these folks?
No, you think people were able to drive the cars that they wanted. They were able to have the girls that they wanted. They were able to dress how they wanted. It was and then they had, people were giving them accolades. People looked up to them. So you were looking to me like a person would look at TV and you would admire an actor or a rap star or R&B or a country singer. It was the same way that we in the neighborhood admired our street legend.
Okay. Now, Mike, who you were talking about, what were some of the other things about Mike that that you looked up to, that you wanted to have for yourself?
I mean, it was really just his interaction with me. He was a guy doing whatever he chose to do, but he reached for me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? He was like more of a mentor for me as a youth because he would come check on me. He would come pick me up from school. You know, it was certain things that he did that outside of my immediate circle, which was my family, which didn't really do it, but he had the heart in him to do it, so that was new for me.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, did you know he was in a gang at that point, or did you just think, oh, this is a cool dude?
No, I don't think it's the gang. I mean, I think the city of Grand Rapids have the gang life confused with the street life.
Okay.
Because we're not like other cities across the country that have Bloods and Crips and Vice Lords and GDs. We have a few little other gangs that were, you know, from the Spanish culture. However, you know, the things that we're trying to do is kind of different. You know, it was more of a neighborhood associations than gangs in Grand Rapids.
Okay. And what's for those who obviously haven't been in a gang, I mean, what's it like being in a gang? What's the life like?
I mean, it's a camaraderie. It's like if you was in a fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you were a part of a basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
People look at gangs because of the terminology.
Mm-hmm.
If the ethics were different, you would call a corporation a gang.
Sure.
You would call any business a gang if the ethics were different than gang life.
Mm-hmm. So did it provide you with another sense of family, would you say?
Yeah, I can say that. I can say it was more camaraderie and companionship rather than a disciplinary aspect of parenting over a family.
Okay. So how did your family feel when they found out that you had joined up with the Wealthy Street Boys?
It was really a secret. Like, no one really knew.
Okay.
Yeah, like, it wasn't, like, my family wasn't condoning my lifestyle. Like, I want to make that first and foremost.
Okay.
My parents were good parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you got to be careful of the influence of the children, because parents can really raise their children positively,
mm-hmm.
but a child makes his own mm-hmm. personal decisions on their own.
So you said you were keeping it a secret. Did you feel kind of a sense of guilt that you were in a gang?
No, it was just I didn't want to defy my parents.
Okay.
It was more of a me respecting them to the point where, you know, if I'm seen on a corner, I didn't want nobody to go back and say, yeah, I seen your son on the corner.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm 13, 14, 15 years old. That's kind of young for a kid to be
sure
on the corner.
Right. Now, do you have any other family members who were involved with gangs?
Yeah, I have a multitude of family that were involved in the street life. Like I said, the gang activity, you know, is not really a Grand Rapids culture. So I just want to really confirm that to the community that,
sure,
you know what I mean, it's more of a lifestyle culture.
Now, the gangs in Grand Rapids, do they connect to larger gangs, say, in Detroit, Chicago, L.A., New York, or are they just simply Grand Rapids entities?
Right, Grand Rapids isn't a town that really creates connections outside of the city. Like I was saying, it isn't gang-driven. It is a city that is driven by neighborhoods, streets, and blocks.
Now, is there an actual business model with these gangs, or is it just kind of causing upheaval and nuisance? What's kind of going on behind the scenes?
Nah, see, that's, I guess, if there was, there's no business model to these neighborhoods today. You know, they are being taught, they're not being taught anything outside of what they're learning in school. If the education institution taught economics in the first 15 years of a child's life, it would have been a different outcome. Because the people would be driving and striving towards excellence in a profession instead of to become a worker. So it's kind of, you know, the business model is designed with inside the community, like the neighborhoods inside the gangs. They design their own personal just by not being taught, but just picking up business skills, this innate nature.
Okay. But, I mean, as far as, you know, perhaps business, I mean, with some of these gangs, drugs are being sold, and that's kind of, you know, maybe at the heart of what's part of what's going on, correct?
Right. That was, I could say that in the past.
Okay.
Like in the past, gang rivals and gang camaraderie and drug business models, I can say yes. But today's youth, drugs is not even an issue. It's more of them using the drugs than selling the drugs.
So is there any business that they're doing these days? Anything they're selling? Are they selling guns or anything like that? What have they got going on that you've become
I think it's a lot of robbery.
Okay.
It's a lot of breaking and entering, stealing, larceny.
Okay.
That's how they get their money and it's, you know, you're always going to have the negative and the positive when you're talking about the street life, you know, because some kids don't have anything, so they got to make something out of nothing. When you're forced in your hand and you don't have no one reaching to help, it's hard to decide to eat or not.
Right.
It's not really a question.
It's about survival.
Exactly. And when you're forced to be in survival mode, it's kind of you being really judgmental, because it's like a tiger. He's in the wilderness and he's not expected to eat because he doesn't supposed to eat that type of animal.
One is going to do what he has to do.
Exactly.
So you're 18 years old. You go to prison. What led up to that? What happened?
You know, the lifestyle had changed. You know, the things in my life had changed. I had been into the gang life, into the drug life for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
So my wealth status had increased.
Okay.
So the more we were getting into the money, it started being more about the money.
Okay.
So, you know, from there, you know, we started pushing a large amount of drugs within the community because the drug life was something that we were accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said again, if we were able to transition those business models and exchange it and take away the drug life, I think you would have multimillionaires in the community.
Sure. Because it's almost similar in infrastructure to what's going on with the corporation. It's just a little bit different.
Definitely.
So what you obviously rose up through the ranks. You become more visible. What did you get in trouble for?
We were indicted. You know, it was drug conspiracy, you know, possession. It was a lot of people that was involved. It was a lot of non-descriptive, you know. It's kind of, you know, I don't really want to go in depth, but it was so beyond the culture of Grand Rapids and our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
When the indictments fell federally, you know, we didn't understand the extent of a federal indictment. We didn't understand. No, we were playing a game that we really didn't understand once we got into a different league.
Mm-hmm.
And at 18, 17 years old, and when no one's teaching you the game, no matter if it's corporate or illegitimate lifestyle, you only know what you're being taught.
Right.
And if you're not being taught effectively, then you fail at the end when the pressure comes.
Right.
And that's what happened in 1997. The pressure came, and it was the fall of the wealthy street. Boys, gangs, however you want to call it, their decline came by not having knowledge of self, not having knowledge of anything outside of a neighborhood.
Okay. So you go to prison. What's that time period like for you? What's it like on the inside?
I must be honest, man. It was educational.
Okay.
Educational
in a positive way or a negative way?
Definitely for me in a positive way.
Okay.
However, at that age I was 18 years old, so my mind was still fresh. Mm-hmm. I was willing to learn.
Okay.
You know, so I was around a few different good brothers that was willing to reach out to me and teach me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was educational for me. I was around guys that, like, when I went to prison, I was the youngest person on the compound.
Okay.
Like, I was the youngest person on my indictment at the time when we got indicted in 97. I was the youngest person on the case.
Okay.
So, and then when I went to prison, I was the youngest person in the prison of 1,500 individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So I had got a form of notoriety of people wanting to help me. Because I was the youngest.
Okay.
So I got older individuals that may have been down for a long time, may look to me as a son, mm-hmm. may look to me as a nephew or mm-hmm. grandson or whatever, but they was willing to teach me things that I hadn't been taught when I was on the streets.
So when you say they were teaching you things...
Life things,
okay.
Responsibility, accountability. You know
okay.
what I mean? Responsible, you know what I mean? Being productive, ways to change
okay.
your life. What are you doing? How
okay.
are you... Because they had a time to... rehabilitate.
Okay.
I was still fresh. I was coming. I was still
okay.
kind of wild still.
Okay.